Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Tiger Mike, and there's old War Eagle Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, man, I really ought to ask the cousins what these names should be.
Yeah.
A shout out to... Here we got Big Nasty. He said Big Eagle Shane. That was a missed opportunity. I should have went with that, you know?
That could have been better. Yeah, just put Big in front of any mascot. You're good, Mike.
But hey, the fall camp preview marches on, and I just thought it'd be kind of fun. Not to say that, Auburn and Florida are too related, but
right.
There's obviously was the coaching search, Summerall, Golish. Where are they going to go? First year program. So we did Florida yesterday. Go check that out if you missed it. Today, we're going to do Auburn, Shane, and get ready to see a lot of South Florida on this one.
The South Florida Tigers. You got it. Well, I mean, we kind of figured that. We kind of figured this happened, but yeah. I'm going to tell you, man, so many coach searches turn wrong, right? It feels like in Auburn in particular, it seems like there's a coaching hire, and then there's this 2-3 month campaign on why we should have or why this guy's great or what he's going to bring. But I feel like this is like an ideal hire. You know me, I was high on Golish ever since he left Tennessee, and I said, this guy's going to do it. He's going to have a chance. And it was like, if I had the money and I got to pick, this is the exact same coach that I would want down here in Auburn. So I think it was a home run hire, and I think it's time for a new chapter down there on the plains, brother.
No doubt. And, you know, be honest, Shane, when Tennessee hired Heupel,
uh-huh.
He wasn't probably the first choice, but he was the right choice.
Yes.
And that happens so many times in these coaching searches. So before we get into it, speaking of Tennessee, you know where the cousins ought to go?
Yeah, when they have bad coaching searches, you go straight to Tennessee Legend Distillery and soak away some of those problems you've got. But I'll tell you, Sevier County, I keep saying it, is getting busier and busier. But we got the 4th of July parade coming up. And before you get into all that nonsense, all that traffic, you're going to need a little Tennessee Legend Distillery in your bag. And that's right. If you go there and tell that the cousin sent you, you'll get a discount and a bonus gift. So they got two locations there in Sevierville. They got one in Nashville. And listen, if you can't get to Tennessee, you can get Tennessee Legend to you. Just go to your local package store and tell them, no, hey, we got to get some of this on the shelf, some of this new vanilla they've been talking about. And once it gets to your package store, then you can bring it home. So Tennessee Legend Distillery, you can't go wrong.
Well, you know what's not vanilla anymore?
What's that?
This damn offense with Golish. We're going to get into it, but real quick, again, let's recap the vanilla-ass offense, Shane, that went 5-7 last year. Just awful. 5-7 overall, 1-7 in the conference play. How about this stat, Shane? Again, mighty Auburn. The SEC's better when Auburn's good. Mm-hmm. 5 consecutive losing seasons for the program. First time, Shane. You want to just take a wild guess? What decade last time Auburn had 5 straight losing seasons? And I'll give you a hint. It was a while ago.
Man, the 50s.
Close, 40s. So that's how long ago it's been where we are currently in the state we are in. And again, I don't really want to recap because everything's changed so much, but it is what it was last year. It's complete disaster. And now we're turning a new leaf, and who knows how to turn over a damn disaster, Shane? Alex Golish.
That's right. You know, you mentioned last year, I hate to talk about it, but Hugh Freeze, you know who he reminds me of? Reminds me of Mike Tyson getting out of prison, right? We just, hey, man, Mike's back. We're going to have some awesome fights. And then next thing you know, he's just biting people's ears off. So it's like, no. We have the ghost of Christmas past. It is gone. We're ready for a new chapter. And I think Alex Golish is the guy. And you want to talk about an offense ramping up real quick? Get ready, because it's going to, son.
Right. And I mean, here's what I'm talking about, Shay. So the 3 years prior to Alex Golish at South Florida, they won 1 game, 2 games, 1 game, and then 7-7-9 in his three seasons. So immediately, completely turned around the ship. He's going to have to do that now again at Auburn. Of course, it's going to be a lot tougher. Let's dive into just also the recent program track record for the Tigers. One thing really stood out to me, Shane.
Yeah.
Good night. The schedule. Everybody complains about a tough schedule. Here's the schedules that Auburn has had since 2019. This is national rankings, how difficult your schedule is. Number 2, number 5, number 4, number 1, number 12, number 22, and number 14. So it has lightened up.
Yeah.
Do you know why, Shane? And if you think about it, yeah, I think you'll get this, but Auburn's schedule has lightened up a little bit. Again, still like around top 15, but why do you think Auburn's schedule has lightened up the last couple of years?
Because they're not in the West anymore?
Bingo. So we've done away with divisions.
Mm-hmm.
They were getting Georgia every year, and of course, the West Gauntlet. And I would also throw in the fact that Nick Saban has retired. You know, it kind of made it slight, again, not easy, but just
right.
Just the juggernaut no longer in the Southeastern Conference. So it's been a real failed opportunity to take advantage of that potential momentum, but it's not too late.
Right. Because,
again, we'll see what Bama is this year. But Auburn has not had a top 67 scoring offense in the country since 2019, so it's just been abysmal over there. But we have had top 25 defenses the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something. And again, we don't need to highlight the past. We know what it is. It's down bad. But this man right here, Shane, Alex Golish. I mean, one thing I really wanted to highlight here, his offensive points per game.
Jeez.
Going back to Central Florida when he started with Heupel there. Number 5 in the country. This is points per game. I mean, this ain't any other wacky stat. This is how many points you're scoring. 5th in the country in 2019. Tennessee, they ported that over. They were 10th. Can this translate to the SEC? Well, hell, it did. This top 10 first year at Tennessee. The number 1 in the country.
Oh, hidden in
second season in Tennessee in the SEC. Then he goes to South Florida. They were 42-42. So, you know, not making a ton of progress. And then, boom, it all clicked. Number 4 in the country. So I'm seeing 6 seasons here, Shane.
Yeah.
He's had 4 top 10 offensive points per game. Top 10 in the country. I mean, how can you doubt this guy and his offensive track record?
You can't. You can. In fact, wasn't it 23 that Alabama had a little fit with first-year Golish, and
yep.
We started the old decay dynasty, and Saban's looking for a retirement home in South Florida. Why the hell are we playing down there? So it felt like that was one of the first of the dominoes to fall. But, yes, it you know, when I look at a team like South Florida as opposed to a team like Auburn, you know, you got to build, right? I feel like when you see success down there, it takes a couple of seasons. I don't think we got to wait near as long when we're in Auburn.
No, sir. And a big part of that, Shane?
Yeah.
DJ Durkin, retaining him, that was huge. His defenses, again, I mean, they're just getting better and better. Just look at, he's been at Ole Miss, A&M, and Auburn back to back to back. And it was pretty stark red. At first, there at Ole Miss, they had a lot of work to do. And then, you know, we're talking hundreds, defenses ranked in the hundreds. And then last year, top 20. The year prior, top 17 ranked at A&M and at Auburn. So this guy's one of the best defensive minds in college football. And just having him to lean on with the continuity. Buddy, we said it all last year. If we just had a competent average offense, Auburn, hell, they might have made a playoff with that defense they had, right? And I just showed you the track record for Golish.
Yeah.
He is arguably as elite as anybody when it comes to producing offenses. So if we get anywhere close to that caliber and we can keep this level of defense, it's not going to be long before Auburn is contending for the SEC and the college football playoff.
Well, I think that's the perfect marriage, right? You know, DJ could have left. You know, he wanted the job, didn't get it, could have left. You know, I'm not saying it was an easy get, but being able to retain him, I look at a top 20 defense year in, year out. I look at a goalish offense that's top five last year. It's like marrying these two together, we should be in a pretty good spot. Hell, all the even Malzahn moved back town to see this thing, you know?
He thought he could learn a thing or two from old Alex Golish. And I think he's right, Shane. So, all right, let's get into the returning production. Now, not pretty here, Shane. Offensive returning production for Auburn. Of course, coaching change, that's why. But 15% of our offense is back. This is calculated with passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, offensive line snaps. That is 15th in the conference. Let's see if you see anybody here on the graphic, Shane. Passing. Because of Shane had as many passing yards as anybody on Auburn's roster that returns last year. So 0%, that's obviously dead last in the conference. But rushing, 48%, so not horrible there. Jeremiah Cobb was very efficient, had a big breakout year, and he's back for another one. I don't know if you noticed this, it's the same guy, just different pictures. Cobb led us in receiving too. So we were 8% receiving back in the Southeastern Conference and 5% of our offensive line snaps. So pretty, pretty low.
Yeah.
In terms of offensive returning production, but hell, our offense wasn't good to begin with. So we'll get to the portal here in a minute, but I'm just trying to put it all into the picture here. Just that we return almost nothing on offense.
Yeah, I mean, this was probably a pretty easy graphic to make. I mean, if you're using old cousin Shane photos, in fact, it's funny. That's the first video we ever did, or I ever did, whenever we did YouTube. I lost a bet and had to sing a Kentucky song. God, I was so damn nervous, man. I sang that thing. I practiced like 15 times before I did. Now we just jump on 5 minutes before we go.
Now you said Kentucky. It just made me think of that had to have been the worst game of the conference last year. What was it, 7-3?
Yeah.
Kentucky Auburn.
Yeah. There's like one of these every season that you just, if somebody's in trouble, or it's like if you go to jail for something, you should be forced to watch this game over and over again.
All right, but here's where we get a little bit better here, Shay. Defensive returning production, 45%. That is 11th in the conference. Again, not the upper echelon, again, because coaching transition, but tackles, we bring back 45%. That is 10th in the SEC, led by an All-American, Shane, and Xavier Atkins. Tackles for loss, 50% back at a 6th in the SEC. Passes defended and interceptions were low here, 40%. That's 15th in the conference. But again, you got to have faith in old Durkin to kind of put these pieces together. They've attacked the portal on this side of the football too. Just We're about to get to that. It's just not quite as heavy as the offense, but there's a lot of talent. That's the only nice thing, Shane, I'll say about the former coach. He recruited really well to get us some pieces that I think are going to make some big time contributions this year.
Yeah, that's for sure. And that's why you're so frustrated, right? You look at all the talent you've had in there and lack of production on the football field. So maybe we got a coach that could do something with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Broda says, I think Mike's a diehard Auburn fan, just hated Hugh Freeze. That's,
brother,
it's pretty close.
I had to talk him off the ledge several times when Hugh's name came up.
I had to talk you on the list.
Yeah, I know.
All right, let's get to the portal, Shane. Oh, bad. So This is wild. I don't believe in on-3 rankings. I just don't when it comes to the portal. They've got this as the 47th transfer class in the country, 24/7, who I do believe in. It's got this as a top 10 class, a number 9 in the country. Now, again, I'm kidding here, but they got 39 guys out of the portal.
Yeah.
And that was after losing 36. So just massive, massive transition here. And it's a lot. I don't know if you noticed this on the graphic here, Shane, but a lot of USF here.
Yeah, I see it.
So Byron Brown, of course, is the diamond we got out of the portal, our quarterback here, who had nearly 8,000 passing yards, 61 touchdowns passing, and then, oh, just throw in 2,200 rushing yards and 31 rushing touchdowns, Shane. Just a beast. I don't want to call him Cam Newton, because Cam Newton may be the best individual season of all time, and certainly as an Auburn Tiger, perhaps all time. So, but he does fit that mold where he's just a big body guy. He may have to be Cam Newton. If we go to the playoff, then I'll start calling him Cam Newton 2.0. You know what?
Yeah, I'm with you. Brother, yeah, I always think about this. It can work or it could fail, right? And I always feel like when you talk about these new coaches kind of behind that curve, you know, trying to build some chemistry, it's like, instead of build the chemistry, coach just brought the chemistry over. I think, what did they have total? 9, something like that, USF guys. So team's absolutely loaded, and there's a lot of chemistry brought in for sure.
Well, 9 on this graphic, I think they've got about 20 of them, Shane. They brought
over. From USF?
Yes.
Oh, shit. No, I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah, so we'll get to it.
Damn. Did USF, like, file any lawsuits or anything?
For they probably should have.
Land? Yeah, really.
They probably should have. All right, and then here's another, not the one guy they didn't get from USF. Shout out to Sean Womack. He's been at Ole Miss. He's been at LSU. He's an elite recruit. He kind of finally realized that potential last year. He had a really good year in Oxford, so he's there. But I highlighted Jonathan Echols, tight end, Chaz Nimrod, receiver, Keyshawn Singleton, receiver, Cole Best is going to be probably our best offensive lineman. All those guys from South Florida, Bryson Washington at Baylor. He had over 1,800 rushing yards, 18 touchdowns, Shane, the last 2 years at Baylor, so a really nice running back added to the mix. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you remember old Max Johnson, but his brother Jake at tight end, he's back in the SEC, Shane. He was at A&M, went to go play for old Bill Belichick, realized that guy's a joke, and I guess he probably tried to get with Bill's girlfriend, and she said no. So he said, I'm coming to go finish on the plane. So got us a tight end with NFL bloodlines, and man, I couldn't even limit this thing to 9 or 10. There's so many. Again, they got 39 guys they added via the portal.
I better not see one big bad Brad parent cam over on the sideline. I thought we were done with that after Texas A&M, but
he's back.
I looked it up. It says 13. So 13 total from USF. So yeah, pretty much half the team there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How about the recruit? Now, again, recruiting, there just wasn't time. You know, you're coming in here late. It was a debacle. They had the number 42 recruiting class in the country. That was 14th in the conference. They are whooping ass right now in the current recruiting track class. So I think that's going to be more the standard under Alex Golish. But they did get the number 19 edge, Jacquez Wilkes. They got the number 20 linebacker, Sedarius Tootle. Cool name there. They added a big-time receiver, Brady Marchese, number 28 receiver in the country. And my personal favorite, Shane.
Yeah.
Don't know anything about this guy except his name. The number 63 offensive lineman. I hope he's an All-American one day, Shane. Bear McHorter. What a name.
Hell,
I mean,
yeah.
How could he not be an elite player? You know what?
Absolutely. If I had any boys, I would have named them Bear for sure.
Cousin Bear over here.
Yeah.
All right, so bear with me here, because I mean, this is like shot in the dark here. I don't know how to rank these. I don't know how to project these, because it's just massive, massive turnover. But let me know if you notice anything, Shane, in the offensive depth chart.
Yeah, Jeremiah Cobb is the captain.
So, I mean, right now the way I've got it projected here, and again, think this could significantly change. I got 10 of 11 starters on offense as transfers, and a good portion of them come from USF.
That's the most, right, that we've had up to this point?
By far, yeah.
By far, yeah. Wow.
So, again, how do I rank these guys? I don't know, but I'm going to go quarterbacks as the best position group.
Mm-hmm.
We've already highlighted Byron Brown. He led the nation in total offense last year. And in the spring game, Shane, they had this Tristan Tia. I got him as the backup. He was a transfer from Oregon State. He really lit it up. He's a really good passer. And then they added a guy that they had at South Florida, Lachlan Hewlett. So we're getting multiple goalish quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then a promising transfer from Oregon State. So I like our quarterbacks. I believe it or not, I remember for years and years, Auburn, they couldn't figure out the quarterback position. I think we figured it out overnight by hiring Alex Golish.
Won't that be a breath of fresh air? You know, it just feels like we've brought so many failed experiments down there to finally have a little. I mean, we don't have quarterback. We got a new coach and zero quarterback competition. That's got to be awesome. That's an awesome feeling.
Hey, shout out Shane Razor Bass here.
Yeah.
I do remember this now. I didn't know it was that kid, but he says McWhorter was the guy. His dad put up a billboard that saying he wanted to play for the Razorbacks when he was 13. You remember that?
Yes.
I like him even more now. You know what? If he likes Sam Pittman, I like him. You know what?
Absolutely.
All right. So the next position group, Chad, I'm going to go running backs because I like Jeremiah Cobb. Again, he's back.
Yeah.
He had nearly 1,000 yards last year. He was a touted recruit. He realized that potential. So I like that. Omar Mabson is back. He's a decent player himself. Just hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities. And then we've added the guy from Baylor that I highlighted, Bryson Washington. And then a running back, Nakai Davenport. Take a wild guess where he transferred in from, Shane.
Davenport. No idea.
South Florida. Oh. It was not a test here. And then Tay Matthews from Troy. So we got a lot of transfers, but I think we got some nice depth. We're getting experienced depth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, remember, with this offense, people just assume it's like, high, you know, quarterback, you know, he's going to throw it all over the yard, which they will. But it's the foundation of the whole thing is the running game.
Yes.
So they're going to run the heck out of the football, which is something I think every Auburn fan can get excited about.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to Tennessee, right? So you watch him. I mean, he worked with Heupel. He worked under Heupel. So you're going to see a little bit of that, and you are correct. The bread and butter of this thing is offensive line and running game, even though the quarterback and the wide receiver spread out are going to steal the show sometimes.
Mm-hmm. All right, so next position group, I'm going receivers, tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Shane, we've got Keyshawn Singleton, Chaz Nimrod, Christian Neptune, Corey Pettigrew, and tight end Jonathan Echols. Where do you think they transferred from, Shane?
USF.
Oh, you nailed it. You're getting it. All right. So again, I mean, they know the system. I think they will. It'll be kind of seamless to get in here. And that was kind of the message in spring. Like, these guys got it. You know. Yeah. So there's not that big learning curve. We mentioned Jake Johnson bringing him in from North Carolina. Arliss Boardingham from Bowling Green. I believe he was a touted recruit. So, again, I think we got talent and depth there. And then the last position group, I'm going to go offensive line. And I like a lot of these guys we brought in. I've heard Cole Best has already emerged as the leader in that locker room from where do you think he's from, Shane?
USF.
Yeah, you nailed it. There you go. So, again, we're bringing the same center for the same quarterback for the same offense and coach. Stanton Ramel from Michigan State, Joe Simmons from JMU. I mean, I think these are some nice players to build with here. It just, I'm obviously concerned of kind of putting all these pieces together and hoping it works day one, but that's the task at hand here.
Is there any other Coles that they can get in the old trap?
Maybe they asked old Cole Kublik, you know, like, yeah, who's your favorite? Who's your top Cole over there? You know?
Oh, my gosh. I didn't think about that. I'll have to ask him. Who's your favorite Cole at Auburn?
All right. So let's look at the defense, Shane. And again, so this is DJ Durkin's guys here. And I like this. We didn't have to go heavy portal.
Yeah.
But we did shore up some holes via the portal here. And number one position group, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the football, I'm going to go linebackers. Remember, we had Steven rank the linebackers in the SEC?
Yeah.
God, I mean, every damn fan base in the SEC said their guys were too low, but I think Auburn fans were the loudest because he rated them like sixth or seventh, the best linebackers in the SEC. And maybe they got a point, Shane, because Xavier Atkins is an All-American, maybe the best linebacker in the conference. They've got some studs behind them. Elijah Melendez, DeMarcus Riddick, Bryce Diaz, J.J. Falk, young, talented. I mean, I believe that these guys are all four stars. So we're talking all SEC freshman type players. They go pretty deep at linebacker at Auburn, and that is that's DJ Durkin's position right there that he's pretty hands on with.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's kind of a tale of two halves here, right? You know, you got one side that's relying on transfers, and on this one, you got nine starters returning. So yeah, I think this is a little bit of a breath of fresh air here.
And then next position group, Shane, I'll go defensive line, which doesn't return any starters technically, but I really like the transfers. Deshaun Womack, Cody Sigler was really good at Arkansas State. And then we've got a plethora of guys that have played. I hear Jared Smith was a breakout star in the spring. I think he's going to have a big year. Dallas Walker's back. Darion Smith, Malik Autry, Chris Murray. I think this is a really talented defensive line that can really get after the passer, and it should set up this DJ Durkin defense to have a lot of success this fall.
Oh, yeah. That's what makes these linebackers better, right?
Yeah.
Having these big uglies in front of you. So big group, deep group. This is probably like one of the biggest question marks, obviously, with the transfers and stuff. But if this group hits, I feel like the secondary and like I said, linebackers will be better for it.
Mm-hmm. So last but certainly not least on this defense, give me the defensive backs. I'm really splitting hairs here. Starters Sylvester Smith and Caleb Harris are back, and a ton of experience. Eric Winters, Rayshawn Pleasant, Blake Woodley, Aquan Fagans, Jacoby Matthews, all back. And all these guys except for Matthews played 11 games, 11 games, 12 games, 12. I mean, these are some experienced players. Mm-hmm. They're very familiar with playing in this defense. And I think there's going to be a little drop off here if we can stay healthy on this side of the football.
It's kind of crazy. We just did Florida and it's like a similar recipe almost, you know, a lot of returning production, maybe not starters, but at least they know what's expected. It's less things you got to implement, you know, and I feel like this unit especially could definitely help that offense out a little bit.
And then when it comes to kicker and punter, Shane, oh, good news. Alex McPherson's back, baby. Yeah. 40 of 45 kicking field goals. Remember, he missed 2 years ago. He had a medical situation that was pretty severe. He came back last year, so it was great to see him bounce back. I believe he's the most accurate kicker in Auburn history. So
yeah,
that's a really nice piece for Golish to lean on there if they need and then – They bring back their putter, Shane. And you know he got a heavy workload last year playing in that shitty offense. Shout out Hudson Kayak, who he had 42 yards per punt on 49 attempts. I didn't look up how many 49 led the SEC or not, but
he needed a break.
I bet you came pretty close.
Yeah, he needed this break. So he didn't work out. They didn't even tell him to come to the gym. So, hey, we're good. We know you got it.
All right, so shout out to our buddy Steven Lassie for giving us these Athlon Sports SEC anonymous comments here on the Tigers. I thought these were pretty interesting. Honestly, Alex Golish is a pretty good fit. You see him paired with defensive coordinator DJ Durkin, and he's a grinder. I love how the scheme could be attractive. I see how the scheme could be attractive. You bring in your quarterback with you, and there's not a big learning curve there. I could see them having success. And then they continue on. They were really good on defense last year. They were the best defense we saw. You add some offense with it, and they can be pretty good. I sense that there's going to be a mentality to be who they are and not to conform to the past and how things have been run there. Teams that play them early, there's going to be a surprise with how efficient they are with the guys they have that have been in that system. So echoing a lot of what we're saying here, Shane, we could just combine this defense with a quality offense, which we could get immediately because we brought over the whole roster from South Florida. I mean, this could be the sleeper team of the conference.
Could be. And I feel like something in that statement right there, you can go to a lot of these programs that are having a lot of success, and it's just, you feel it as soon as you get in that locker room, you feel it when you get on the football field. But I also feel like it could be on the opposite side, right? It could be negative. It could be brought down. It's like, you know, I think when you bring continuity from USF over, when you bring just kind of a new look, new fresh, one thing that I love about Auburn, even though they have sucked, their fans have always shown up. You know what I'm saying? I remember when Cadillac was out there coaching, it was like this place still alive. So it's like a sleeping giant, Mike. They're just waiting for an opportunity.
Absolutely. I'm right there with you, Shane. So let's look at the schedule, though, Shane. How about that? Here's a 6.5 over-under win total for them. Auburn Tigers with a 45-1% chance, or excuse me, odds 45-1 to win the conference, 100-1 to win the national championship. Here's the schedule. Baylor and Atlanta, for some reason. Southern Miss, Florida, and Vanderbilt, all at home. At Tennessee, then we get a much-needed bye, 2 weeks to prepare. On the road at Georgia, LSU at home, at Ole Miss, Arkansas at home, at Mississippi State, Samford at home, and then we finish up at Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Thoughts on that schedule?
I think he's going to be top five again in strength of schedule. This is a doozy. obviously, the Baylor game was a dumb move. I wish this was a home and home. Would have been a perfect opportunity there. But I get it. Guy makes some money, I guess. But there's some tough games. What I keep going around on, Mike, and I want your opinion on this, because I've noticed a lot of teams going to have a bye week probably after week 7, you know, going into week 8. It seems like almost all of them. This is one of the earlier ones, and which, again, forces them to play 7 games in a row after. Do you think that's beneficial for kind of having that reset early for a young team like this, or would you have liked to have seen that pushed back a little bit?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't really thought about it, but I have noticed the teams that have an earlier bye, they still get those Samfords in there. So, I mean,
yeah, that's true.
That's kind of another bye, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
what good is a bye right before your last game if you've had an awful season?
Right.
You know, if you had, let's say you had Samford November 7th, and you get 2 weeks to ramp up for a three-game SEC run, maybe that's a little different story. But, yeah, that's interesting, Shane, because now you're talking, you could be really beat up and wore down by the time Arkansas gets here.
Yeah.
Or you travel to Mississippi State. And I have to assume if you're a diehard Auburn fan, you're sitting here saying, well, Arkansas win, at Mississippi State win. But you really got to factor in, man, that's going to be 4 SEC games in 4 weeks, 5 SEC games in 5 weeks for those games respectively. So it makes it a little bit more challenging than it even appears on paper.
Yeah, because it does feel like these are the teams that really suffer toward the end of the season, you know, just competitive depth. You're starting to lose some guys. I mean, we haven't seen this, Mike. We haven't seen 7 games, 6 of them SEC in a row. So I don't know what it's going to look like, but I feel like this would have been a little, I would have liked to have pushed it back just maybe at least another week or two, but it is what it is.
You're starting to sound like one of these coaching agents. Are you?
I'm just saying we should have 2 buys.
All right, buddy, you ready to play a little game? I like to call win, loss, or toss.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so here's how I have it. And this was a difficult one for me. I may have not gotten it right. Usually you agree with me. But here's my win, loss, toss for them Auburn Tigers. So let me throw that back up there. I've got 5 games listed that should be wins. Baylor in Atlanta, Southern Miss at home, Vanderbilt, even though they beat us 2 in a row. Arkansas at home, Samford at home. Do you agree, disagree with any of those 5 should-be wins?
I agree with the 5 should-be wins.
Okay, so then I've got 4 critical toss-ups, Shane. Florida at home. Mm-hmm. I got that as a toss-up. At Tennessee, toss-up. At Ole Miss. Ole Miss has won the last 2 in this series. But Auburn leads it all time, Shane. 35-12. I didn't realize that. And then at Mississippi State, you might say, what? Toss up. Well, State's beat them 2 out of the last 3. And you just got me convinced that it's 5 games and 5 SEC games in 5 weeks. So I'm starting to warm up to Mississippi State a little. So those I'm kind of rambling here, but what are your thoughts on those 4 tosses? Florida, at Tennessee, at Ole Miss, at Mississippi State.
These are I'm probably a little more disagreeable with. Tennessee on the road, I feel like that should be a loss, so I would remove that as a toss. I argue Ole Miss, but I'll leave it for now. I'll wait for now.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I thought the one you'd have the biggest disagreement with was Mississippi State, but you're fine with that?
Yeah, Mississippi State, I would almost want to put it as a win, to be honest with you.
Well, that's what I thought you'd say, but.
Yeah.
You're just picking them all as wins.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We're talking State, you know?
And then I got 3 likely losses. At Georgia.
Yeah.
LSU at home. At Alabama. Do you disagree with any of those?
No, I do not.
And how about this? Again, I'm not trying to kick them while they're down. I'm just presenting the information.
Yeah.
Any idea, Shane, last time Auburn won at Georgia?
No, I don't. Was Malzahn coach?
No, 2001.
Jeez.
And Georgia's won 9 in a row, but I'm saying specifically in Athens where this game's being played, 2001. And how about same deal for Bama's won 6 in a row.
Yeah.
Do you know the last time Auburn won at Alabama? Famous game.
Yeah. That was the kick six. No, it wasn't. No, it was No, I don't know what year it
Cam
was.
Cam Newton, 2010. Damn. And they had to come back, massive comeback.
See, I got to do the countdowns, you know, because I would have put that one in there. I had it in there that year. I just don't remember what season it was.
That's why they killed them trees, Shane, because we went to Bama and beat them. Something had to pay for that, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Good point, Mike.
May those trees rest in peace. I don't mean to sully your good trees there. But all right, Shane, you ready to get into the week-by-week predictions? Best case for Auburn?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so we really need a win week 1, Shane, against Baylor. We beat them last year. So I don't think you could turn around and then lose to them. Dave Aranda's got a lot of heat on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got DJ Lagway now as his quarterback. I don't know if that's good or bad for them. Honestly, I think it's probably good for Auburn. But, again, they're kind of all in, you know, I would think. Huge game. I still can't get over the fact that we sold out for a little bit of money. We should have set up our coach to be successful.
Yeah.
But we'd rather make a couple bucks. But I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you, Shane. Come on. We're going to whoop their ass, right? Come on. I don't care where this game's played. We beat them at their place last year.
Yeah.
We got to beat them this year.
Yeah. I remember there was some questionable cheerleading going on in this game or something. I don't know. The last time. It seems like that was the highlight because Auburn is just a better football team. But here's the thing. Out of all the new coaches, week 1 matchups, this may be one of the most pivotal ones, in my opinion, Mike, because I feel like it's a great launch pad to your success or failure this year. And I really think it's so important to start out with this new chapter that we're doing down here in Auburn with a big win. I'm with you. It was so dumb putting this in a neutral site when you could have had it at home. But I like the win here, and I think it is it's a chance to plant that flag for Auburn.
Yeah, and I will say, Shane, I don't think it's like if we lose this game, it's like, oh, Golish, he's in over his head. He sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, Saban lost to ULM his first year. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, but it would just be so big. It's, you know, we need to set a new standard. These games shouldn't even be competitive.
Right.
And hopefully they won't be under Golish, and he's got to do that week 1. And then week 2, I'm not going to even waste people's time, Shane. Come on, Southern Miss. Brett Favre ain't coming back. We're going to whoop his ass.
Leave them Wranglers at the house, boy. No, and here's the thing. Going back to week one, the reason I'm excited about this, because now you pair it with the second win, you're grabbing some momentum. And I feel with this schedule, as tough as it is, if you can grab some momentum early, this is what makes a good or bad season, I think, in the month of September. So I, too, also have a win here, Mike.
Now, the game that could decide how good of a year we really have, Shane. Florida's coming to town. Judd Cimarron, boys. Oh, Lordy. And if you missed the Florida preview, they got two cupcakes. So they're going to be undefeated, Shane.
Yeah.
They're going to be confident. They're going to be feeling good. Coming into our house, John Cimarron is going to tell his team, hey, I could have been over there. I chose you. I chose you. And you know what Auburn's going to say? You chose wrong, you hillbilly. We're going to whoop your ass. Come on. I mean, again, this is a true coin toss. I can see it going either way. We really need the fans. And you said it, Shane. The fans have been sporting some garbage football.
Yeah.
And some horrible coaches. They'll come out. It'll be a sellout. It'll be rowdy. We're going to need them. Because this is going to be like a two-point game, I think. I'm calling it now. And either side could win it. But that home field could very well be the difference.
Reminds me of that those two Spider-Men pointing at each other, you know. It's like, yeah, this is going to be almost identical. But it's important because one of these coaches is going to have a successful career in the Southeastern Conference. And one of these won't. I just feel it. I just don't think two's going to happen. One of these is we were right on, and one of them were wrong. We love both these hires, but this is big to get this series out started right with a win, 3-0 at home, make home field advantage. Like you said, you've got this place has got to be rocking, son.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You're already calling one of them a failure. I haven't even coached a game. I think they could both be home run hires.
I was going back to our first SEC media days, and I was looking at all the coaches that are no longer with us that I was convinced that they would be. And I'm like, you know what? They're out of a coaching typically.
Who tops that list? I'm just curious now.
The one back then?
Yeah.
Or the one now?
No, back then. Whoever you're talking about.
Well, I'm talking about old school. We didn't even go to these media days. This one here, I was looking at. This is when Coach Luke was over at Ole Miss, kind of that time frame. So you can imagine the guys we were working with.
Yeah, that guy was a joker.
Morehead. I was like, I didn't even know. Where's he at now?
I think he's at Akron, where he belongs up there. All right, week four, Shane. Vanderbilt. Again, they beat us 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is new age Vanderbilt. They're tough. You know, they're not an easy out. And I don't think they're just going back to the cellar anymore. But I have been thinking a lot about this, Shane. I mean, they barely beat us.
Yeah.
And they had a damn Heisman finalist, Diego Pavia.
Yeah.
Come on, Shane. We're whooping their ass 2-4-0 start to the year. Thanks to all these hope games.
Yeah, there'll be a little PTSD in that that locker room in the stands for sure when they see the Vanderbilt Commodores and they think of Diego Pavia. What, three times you said? I feel like he's had their number.
Well, his first one was at New Mexico State, but twice at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's right. So I would imagine there's a little bit of that, but no, this is a different Vanderbilt, a different Auburn. These got help. They didn't play South Florida. You know, South Florida wasn't scared of Vanderbilt. So, yeah, I feel like this is yet another win. And talk about some freaking momentum going to Knoxville, Tennessee, Mike.
Oh, buddy. Let's say this happened. Let's say Auburn's 4-0. Tennessee be coming off the Texas game.
Yeah.
All the pressure's on Heupel, don't you think?
Yes.
His absolutely. OC coming back is when they were the best. Was when, I mean, people are going to be whispering, oh, is it really Golish? Was Golish the secret? I mean, people have been saying that on Rocky Top for years now.
Yeah.
Should we have gotten Golish as our head coach and not Heupel? I mean, these are going to be the narratives coming into this football game. Same offenses. Now two really good defensive coordinators. If this game's a shootout, Shane, Byron Brown, come on. I mean, I'm telling you, I think this guy legitimately could be in the Heisman conversation by the end of the season. If now Auburn's going to have to win a lot of games, you know, like at least 9, if not 10. So, but I think he's that caliber of a quarterback. So if it is high scoring, I think Auburn certainly can go into Neyland Stadium and whoop Tennessee's ass, make you cry, Shane. But I don't think it happens. I mean, we're not going undefeated here, but I think that will be a hell of a game.
It will be. It will be. And if this scenario plays out, who knows? Tennessee may have a loss at this point. I was always worried about this game just being in the spot that it is. I'm not calling it a trap game, but it is one that Tennessee notorious take their foot off the gas. They're looking ahead. And then all of a sudden, you know, they're in a fight for their life against a guy that, quite honestly, would love to have that Tennessee job, I would think, but he doesn't. He's got a better job, in his opinion, down there in Auburn. But unfortunately, he's won a lot of games in Knoxville. This just won't be one of them. So this will be the first loss for those Auburn Tigers.
Maybe in year two or three. I mean, it would be a different story, perhaps, you know?
Or even just in Auburn, right?
Yeah.
I would consider this – I'm glad you put it as a toss, because I'm kind of there in that spot. Just really the uncertainties on quarterback with Tennessee. But I like Brown. I think he is an elite arm. I wish he was in Tennessee. I mean, we would have smoked Auburn in that case, but he didn't. So, I do think that we're not pissed off, because this will be a close game too.
Right. All right. So then we get our bye before we travel to Georgia. Ooh, Shane, Georgia.
What a stretch.
We haven't beat them in, what, nine? It's been 9 in a row, I believe, Georgia's won. 9 in a row. Haven't won at Georgia since 2001. I think Georgia's going to be pretty damn dominant. Now, that being said, Shane, Georgia won the conference last year, and we were awful. Mm-hmm. And what was it, 10-0? And Jackson Arnold was literally a centimeter away from making it 17-0 before that stupid fumble. But so, point being, I don't think Auburn's afraid of Georgia. I think they can go toe-to-toe with them. And this is how you're going to define yourself, Golish, is winning games like this. You got to flip these series. We can't have these decade-long losing streaks. And they're going to come to an end, Shane. I guarantee it. Just not this year. Come on, I think Georgia at Georgia is a little too tough.
Oh man, this is just a gauntlet, a four game stretch here, man. I mean, it's good that you do have a bye, so you can at least take a little break during this ass beating. Because here's the way I'm looking at this stretch, Mike. There's going to be a game in here that last year Auburn wouldn't have got. This year Auburn is going to get. I don't know where that win is, but it's going to happen in here. But I can almost guarantee it's not going to happen in Athens. This is also a loss, but I'm with you. There's been a lot of times over the last decade that we've kind of hyped up this game, like, oh, we may have something here, and then we don't. I don't think that's the case here in the next couple of years.
Let me ask you this. Again, this is like pie. What do they say? Pie in the sky?
Yeah. Type.
If Auburn does the unthinkable and beats Georgia in Athens?
Yeah.
Would you insert Byron Brown into the Heisman conversation? Because I would imagine he would have to go Superman and score, you know, 4 or 5 touchdowns. I think that's how he inserts himself into that conversation.
It's so tough to come, like, off the bench. People recognize him, right? But I think of, like, Mendoza. It took a couple of big games to get him up there, and it took one in particular – where we're just playing those highlights over and over again, and you better damn believe it could be a Georgia Bulldog game at home with sad fans all around them. So that would be your opportunity right there.
That's how Johnny did it, beat Bama at Bama.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everybody was like, hey, this kid's, he's got something, you know?
He's taking over.
Well, speaking of taking over, that we may be, taking over LSU, when they come to town next week, massive showdown, Lane Kiffin, Alex Golish, points galore, perhaps. This will be fun. It's going to be entertaining. Remember, this is another fan base that hates Kiffin. There's a lot of them, Shane. But, you know, he was almost the Auburn coach, and he famously turned him down, and they didn't take kindly to that. So they've had some battles over the years. Lane Kiffin's had a lot of success against Auburn. And I think, you know, they're spending 40, 50 million, whatever, number one portal class. I just think it's too much to ask, Shane. I think Lane Whiffen shows up again. Come on, get the hell out of here, Kiffin. They always whiff at least one game with Lane Kiffin, and this is the one. You said it, Shane. You said it. There's going to be a game here we get. Again, I think LSU is massively overrated, but even if they are undefeated, I think they can go down in a game like this.
Well, Mike, it's funny. It's like we're on the same page. It's like we're family or something, because I was thinking the same thing. Why not? If you're going to win one, why can't it be at home? It won't be this one, Mike. I don't know. Lane Kiffin, it just feels like he's going to have Auburn's number. So I, unfortunately, have a third loss right here for Auburn.
Why do you like LSU so much? You must be his agent too, huh?
Yeah, no, don't you report that.
All right, next game, Shade, at Ole Miss. Ooh. Again, hey, yeah, you said it. Lane's had their number. Lane ain't there anymore.
Yeah.
So what does Ole Miss look like? Trinidad, Byron Brown. I mean, this could be one of the better quarterback matchups in the Southeastern Conference this year. Ole Miss. Again, we got to give them credit. They've been awesome. But I don't think it's one of the best home field environments, at least most difficult, I'll say that, in the Southeastern Conference. I just don't. Yeah. So I think it's realistic we could go in here and beat Ole Miss. I really do. But I also think it's realistic that we lose. So I'm going to go Ole Miss here. I mean, I hate to say it, because one in three any month is never going to get it done. But just looking at this freaking schedule, at Tennessee, at Georgia, LSU, at Ole Miss, I almost think like one in three would – I think we could still have a good year if we go 1-3 during this four-game slate.
Yeah, yeah. I do too. And I told you there's a game in this four game, you know, set that Auburn will get. And I don't know. I guess you're just kind of picking. I leaned a little Tennessee just because of my battered ball syndrome, but honestly, Mike, I'm gonna have to I can't say Ole Miss and wear baby blue here. Come on now. Auburn's losing this game. If it were at home, I think Auburn would win, but I think Ole Miss kind of ends this run, right? And trust me, it's going to suck. There's going to be some growing pains. There's going to be some questions. Did we hire the right guy? But after you get through this four-game stretch, I do think there's light at the end of the tunnel. But unfortunately, fourth loss in a row.
Ooh. All right, so then week 10. Mm-hmm. Can't lose the Silver Fox, can we? Arkansas comes to town. They got a lot of changeover too. But I don't know how many players. I know we got half of South Florida's roster. I don't think we trade any of those guys for anybody on Arkansas roster, short of maybe the one defensive lineman they got. Give me Auburn, Shane, to get off the slide at home. I mean, I think we could win another big home game here to set up a nice close to the season.
Yeah, this is a big one. Bounce back. I mean, they could play these boys 10 times, 9 times they're going to beat them, and this will be one of them. So give me a win here, son.
Now, like I said, at Mississippi State, I have this as a toss, Shane. The more I think about Mississippi State, I think they're going to fix the defense. I don't think people are – I think they're starting to warm up. We've been saying it for months. I think Kamario Taylor could be fantastic for Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby always engineers some really potent offenses and gets the most out of the quarterback position. And I think this is probably the most talented. Well, I know it's the most talented guy he's had to work with at Mississippi State. So I'm very intrigued by Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State could win this game. I think people are sleeping on the Bulldogs. And I hate to do it, Shane, because I know this is an Auburn preview, but I'm sleeping on him too. Come on, Shane. We're going. We ain't scared no damn cowbells around here. Auburn's going to go down there and beat Mississippi State.
You know, I go around trying to figure out where the shootout game will be, right? Will it be against Tennessee? Will it be against LSU? You know, there's going to be a Saturday where we're talking about 100 points on the board, and this may be it. I think this one comes down the wire. Because of that, I've got Auburn 52. I've got Mississippi State 49. They got the most accurate kicker that Auburn's ever had. So McPherson is definitely finishing this thing.
Yeah. All right. Then we're not going to waste any time on old Samford. That's an easy dub.
Yeah. Who has that as a mascot anyway?
Little puppy dog.
That intimidating bastard.
And then we go into the Iron Bowl, Shane. I don't know if you've heard. We've been prepping for this game every damn day of our lives since Alex Golish got here. So I love that. I love they're trying to make it a rivalry. Now, it's nice to say it. You got to go out there and do it on the field. Otherwise, all the gimmicks in the world are not going to be good enough to make us a rivalry. You have to go out there. You have to physically intimidate Alabama. And I think you can because we've seen DeBoer. I think he's a great coach. So I think he's pretty marshmallow soft here, Shade. So I think it's going to be a competitive game. I want to pull the trigger and say Auburn pulls off the shocker, beats Alabama. I went on Jock's radio today and said, Bama, best they can do is 8-4. So, again, that's where I'm at. I don't have a high opinion of Alabama. But, again, I also know Auburn hasn't won down here since 2010. So how about this? I'm not going to jinx them. Go out there and prove the nation wrong. You gotta beat Bama before I pick you to do it. I'm going to give him a loss here.
I'm kind of with you here. Who knows? I don't feel like this is the same rivalry that we've seen in the past. I feel like this could come down again to the end of the game. You know, this is important. In this scenario, they've got three wins under their belt coming into this Iron Bowl. A lot of momentum going into the offseason, a successful season if this were to happen. I don't know. I've got to see it. I'm with you. I feel like I'd be lying if I said Alabama doesn't win this game. So I've got, what is that, the fifth loss of the year.
7-5. Which, again, they haven't had a winning season in 5 years.
Yeah.
7-5 is not horrible. It's not what we're shooting for. It's not the standard. I got best case 8-4.
Yeah.
But again, I got a couple upsets in there. Mm-hmm. So again, this was very, very difficult for me, Shane. Most important games. Again, we could very easily say, well, yeah, of course, Bama, Georgia. You know, that should be the answer.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's the answer year one under Alex Golish. I think the way I'm trying to look at it, Shane, if we can get to 8, if we can be a breakout team, what are those three games we must win? And I put them in this order, Shane. Florida,
yeah,
Vanderbilt, and Baylor. So my rationale, and I don't know if you caught this while I was doing it, but to get to 8-4, I think it is realistic, Shane, if key point here, if we win all our home games. Because if we're winning our home games,
yeah,
that means we got to win 2 away from home. And I think that is doable. Again, we proclaim to have the best home field advantage or one of the best in the country. We got to go out there and reclaim that this year.
Yeah.
So what thoughts on my most important games? Because this was very difficult for me.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I would put Baylor number one. I told you how important I think that game is. And it just for you to have a successful season, that's a game you can't just pencil as a win. I would put this as a toss, but you've got to win it. You have to win this game. So Baylor number one. I'm with you, the Florida Gators at home. I like that just because it kind of sets the tone in the Southeastern Conference, especially between these two coaches. But more importantly, you don't have too many home games that, you know, are kind of toss-ups. So I feel like that one is another one. And for you to start this season strong and you got to pull off an upset somewhere, I don't think you have to, but I think the fans need it, right? Yeah. And
need something to believe in.
Absolutely. Like, we got our right guys. So I go back and forth between Tennessee and Ole Miss. And I am a big Orange homer, so I'm going to choose Tennessee. A lot of storylines coming into this thing, but right before a bye week and, you know, having Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss when you get back, you know, if you can end that one strong, I feel like that month of September, you got to, it's grabbing momentum early. And one thing that we're not talking about some of these other new coaches is with South Florida, having that continuity on offense paired with what's expected on defense. It's almost like, I think it's misleading when you look at returning production on this one because of that scenario. So I feel like if anybody's going to get it early, it's going to be Auburn. So, yeah. But if they trip with Baylor, if they trip with Florida, then that goes right out the window, man.
All right, let me ask you this, Shane. Huge if here.
Yeah.
Because this would require at least one upset and winning possibly two or three toss-ups.
Yes.
If we start 5-0, which would mean beating Baylor, Southern Miss at home, Florida at home, Vanderbilt at home, and at Tennessee. Uh-huh. What's our final record? Because, again, we're better. We're much – hell, the over-under 6.5. If we're 5-0, yeah. People are – and you just said it yourself. This is the hardest team to peg, perhaps. They're a lot better than we're giving them credit for today if they're 5-0. Given that information, what's the final record?
9-3.
Could you imagine going into the bye week 5-0? I'm not guaranteeing it.
Yeah.
Not even saying it's likely to happen, but we may have to get a contract extension. We may have to get, we're going to start booking our, I don't know where I think the championship's in Vegas. Took we're going to start booking hotels to Las Vegas.
if it's 5-0, I just look at those three games, that gauntlet there, they're going to win two. They're going to win one of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if that happens, I mean, I'm telling you, brother, who knows what will happen. You get this thing rolling, that Iron Bowl, it's going to come down to it, because I feel like after Ole Miss, they could really run this thing. But yeah, I would not remove 9 off the table. But again, we've got to get to 5, and that's easier said than done, right?
And of course, hey, shout out Vol Tiger. Golish beat Florida last year with the same roster.
That's true.
And now he's got a better defense. You know what?
That's true. I like it. Didn't think about that.
All right. So let me ask you, scale of 1 to 10.
Yes.
Take off your Auburn glasses. I don't think you had on during the show. 1 to 10. 1 being low, 10 being high. Confidence that Auburn hits the over, which would be 7 wins, over under 6.5, 1 to 10. Confidence they hit the over.
I would say 1.7.
Damn, you are stuck on these. It's been like 18%, 16%. Be a little bit more original here. Why so low here?
Okay, honestly, if I'm being real, 0.8. You didn't
0.8%?
Give me 8%. Yeah, it ain't happening. You tried to get me to you gave me 1 as the lowest. So
right, I'll you went lower 1. Than low.
Yes, it ain't happening. This ain't yours. Now it's not that I don't. I
this feel freaking like Auburn, Shane.
6.5.
Yeah, 6-6 ain't even good enough for us.
6-6 would have been great last year, wouldn't it? Year before, I mean, seven game seasons have they had? 7 win seasons since you've been on this earth. It's been a while, right? So I just feel like we're setting the expectations too high for Golish. This is a super tough schedule. I'm trying not to make excuses, but we're going to 9 SEC games. We got a bye week, week 5.
All this man does is win games.
Yeah, at South Florida. He's a hell of a coach, right?
And Tennessee.
He's assistant.
And Central Florida.
He was doing Josh. That was Josh Hype. That was Hendon Hooker 22. Come on. Hendon Hooker ain't on that team. But if he was, I'd give him 9 games.
I think his quarterback's even better.
You know what? Auburn don't care. How many times have I been on the Auburn bandwagon?
Probably last year.
Yeah, seriously. I crowned their ass last year. They're like, Shane, enough. We've had enough.
Okay, well, that's good to know. We get to the end and you hate them. That's good to know. Hey, Hey, shout out Michael Dunlap, Beamer Ball. They just landed a 5-star, Shane.
Oh, damn.
Beamer knows how to land them 5-stars, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Doesn't know what to do with them, but he lands them.
And that's what we do for the next 4 years. Like, well, they still got so-and-so, you know?
Shout out Cousin Benjamin. Cousins, my schedule's been challenging. I'll be able to watch live, or I'll soon be able to watch live. Remember, for 21 months, we missed you, man.
Hell yeah. Thank you, cuz.
And then Brodo, Wildman, as a Georgia fan, I'm a bit worried about Sunbelt Summerall and the All Bull. But not in 26. Sicka, PS, I tooted. And then shout out Cousin Jared, Wildman, LSU Shane Tex.
That's right, cuz.
Give it LSU love on an Auburn preview show. I never thought I'd see the day.
The damnedest thing.
That's like hyping up Bama during the Tennessee show. I did that.
I never hyped them up. I never said anything positive about LSU. I just said they win.
That's bad enough right there.
It is.
All right, buddy. Hey, anything else before we wrap this one up?
No. Again, I thank you as always because I know how much time it takes and effort it takes to put this together, and I appreciate that, especially with a team like an Auburn where you got so many transfers and so much newness. But I will tell you, Mike, I know a lot more about the Auburn Tigers than I did about an hour ago. So I appreciate that. And I know Golish isn't going to come to our table because I just shit all over his team, but I apologize. Alex, I love you. Please come by.
He was coming. He just canceled. I just got the email.
Damn it. I knew it.
All right. Until the next one, we'll catch you. Have a good one.
All right. See you guys. War damn Eagle, baby.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.